Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose from the best options for you fast. It's one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at Progressive.com to try the new Name Your Price tool for yourself and join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
3, 2, 1.
From Los Angeles,
it's the PHP,
the Perez Hilton
podcast.
We're my man,
Chris Booker.
It's Booker, baby,
and the one and only world famous Perez.
Baby, Perez Hilton.
It's the PHP.
Why, hello, and welcome to the PHP. I'm Booker. That would be Perez. What's doing?
I'm going to do it. You know what? Our listeners are such an important part of the show. Sure. They should help us brainstorm. I literally, as soon as you started talking, had an idea pop into my head, which is we should think of a way to incentivize, reward, and thank our listeners, because it's Thanksgiving and the holidays are coming, to incentivize them to really share our show. Like, what could we do as a reward? Like, maybe even something as simple as, like, whoever sends out the best message on social media to check us out, I and or Booker, whomever you want, can send you a free video or something like that. I don't know. Is that stupid? I don't know.
Nobody wants a video from me.
Well, I'll do it then. I'm just trying to think of a way to encourage people even more than they already are to be creative and to share our podcast more, because we don't have guests. Guests usually help to get new listeners, and we want
That's
new
true.
Listeners. And let me tell you, today's podcast, gold, all gold. It feels like I'm back in 2007 and I'm in the middle of so much drama, and it makes me happy. I'm not going to lie, especially because I'm in the middle of all this drama, but not behaving like I used to.
I've seen you all weekend say I'm in TikTok drama and I don't keep up with every moment.
Well, I'll get to it. We'll get to it. I love TikTok drama. You know me well enough to know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I do a really good job of being honest about everyone and everything.
But your honest is completely tainted. Like, your honest is coming from a mental patient. That's what you just don't get.
Oh, shut up. I mean, I'm fine.
You're just you.
Fine. I may be wonderfully wacky, but I'm very honest. So
here's the thing about you, though. You think you're the moral compass, and
no,
you're not.
I do not.
Because you're a mental patient. That's what it feels like on our end.
I do not think I'm the moral. In fact, a reminder, which I'm sure our listeners that are OGs don't need a reminder, Booker almost weekly would make fun of me last year for being on TikTok, saying it was just for teenagers and it was a waste of my time. He was very wrong.
The pandemic changed everything. More people are using it. However, it's a cave. It's not real. Anything you've done over the past weekend, 99 out of 100 people have no idea what it is.
That's fine. So while there are a ton of different people on TikTok, there still are also a lot of very young people on TikTok.
Sure.
Many to most of whom have no idea who Perez Hilton is or what he has done and how he does things, because I have been doing what I do now since they were not even born, some of them. Mm-hmm. It's insane. Yeah. I've been doing this for 16 years now. So I'll get to the drama in a second, but there's been this huge drama on TikTok, and then people repeatedly keep leaving comments like, why are you inserting yourself in the drama? And I just laugh, like, you have no idea who I am, right? Why am I inserting myself in the drama, kids? Well, let me tell you, for attention, for views, for relevancy, for clout, for money, because it's my job. That's what I do.
Right.
So this girl, Charli D'Amelio, we've talked about her before. She's just 16, and I respect that. She is the most followed person on that app. And what's mm-hmm. wild is maybe the majority of the world doesn't know who she is. But now, you know, because she is synonymous with TikTok, and we've talked about her on this show, like, people, while they may have never seen a video of hers, they might have just heard the name, right? Like, she's starting to get mainstream awareness just because she is TikTok. And she just passed this benchmark of hitting 100 million followers and blah, 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 blah. She's got this YouTube show that she does with her family called Dinner with the D'Amelios. And every mm-hmm. week they have a mystery guest. And the mystery guest last week was James Charles, this very messy, problematic YouTuber. Mm-hmm. And several of the things that they did on that episode blew up. And let's take it a step back. How lucky are they? How blessed are they that so many people have the spotlight on them right now, that they're scrutinizing mm-hmm. every little thing they do? It means they're hot and relevant. And like, duh, that's why I've been making so many videos about her and them, because they are it. Especially a lot of the videos that I make about them, I only post on TikTok, because most right. people don't give a shit on Instagram. So I'm right. smart that way too. I don't want or need to alienate my mainstream audience making all these videos about the D'Amelios.
Good idea. You're going to the platform to talk about that platform, and you're not infiltrating the other platforms with it. Smart.
Exactly. So the big things that they were being criticized for is that they come across, because they probably are, as entitled, privileged, spoiled, rude brats. Her older sister is 19 years old, and they probably also are sheltered, meaning for whatever reason, their parents did not expose them to maybe international travel or international cuisine or whatnot. So mm-hmm. this chef on their show for Dinner with the D'Amelios was preparing paella for them. And paella mm-hmm. is like, I'm sure you've had paella, right?
You know, it's funny. We had it this weekend. And I'm wondering, because Kellen's youngest sister, it was her idea to make it. So I wonder if it came from TikTok.
Oh,
you know
wow.
what I mean? Like, why
yeah.
the sudden reason that we would make paella, but we did this weekend.
If you are a Latino or from Spain, then you have had paella so many
sure.
times in your life. It is just a staple in our cuisine. And as many people know, obviously, Latinos are Spanish speaking, because way back in the day, Spain conquered all these other countries. So mm-hmm. There's nothing gross or weird or odd about paella. I will say that it's not super typical to have paella with snails. That was clearly designed to get a reaction out of them. Okay.
Sure.
More typical, and the way to make paella, is with seafood and with clams.
We did clams this weekend and shrimp.
Exactly. Clams.
And calamari.
Calamari. Yeah. Yeah. It was produced. It was a segment. They wanted to get a reaction out of people. And let me just pause and fast forward for a few seconds. I've said this repeatedly. One of the reasons I am not, I mean, many reasons. Like, let's be honest. I'm old enough to be these girls' grandfather, okay? Like, I don't like them, but I don't dislike them either. Their content just doesn't resonate with me. I'm not their audience. I'm 2, 3, 4 generations above them.
Right.
Having said that, I support them. I want to see them win. I want to see everybody succeed and win. So they did behave like these rude things. Like, they were making these faces that could be perceived as mocking the chef and what he was presenting to them. And they really delivered on what the producers wanted. And I wish they would listen to our podcast. I got to explain to them how everything works.
She has 100 million followers. She doesn't need you to explain anything.
All right, fine. But, you know,
whatever she's doing is resonating with people, much like the Kardashians. And that's just what it is. And it's cool. Good for them.
You know why it's resonating with people? Because this girl, you tell me if this is rude. I don't think this is rude.
Okay.
She's 16. She's very, very girl next door. Bland, basic, boring. Is that rude?
No. From, I think, our first conversations about her, when you kind of put her on the map to me and I checked it out, my whole point of view was, I don't get it at all. She's just so average. And maybe that's the thing about her.
That's exactly. That is the appeal. All of these white girls all over the world, and especially in America, can see themselves in her. Because, yeah, she can dance well, but she doesn't even have that much personality. So
right.
The big takeaway is this incident that happened and all this drama where the sister just did not behave well. Like, the sister threw up. She had a bit of the snail and literally vomited. And then Charlie asked for dino nuggets. I'm like, are you serious? Like, dino, you're 16 years old. You're asking for dino nuggets. Like,
right.
The big takeaway is they're starting to show personality. Maybe not good personality, but it's something is better than nothing, I say. And that's the big takeaway. No matter how you slice it and dice it, this might be a temporary speed bump because she did last week lose 1.3 million followers in 24 hours, which is a lot for normal people. But you know what? After that 24-hour period, she started gaining, and she gained all those 1.3 million followers and then some back. And at the end of the day, I cannot think of one instance where bad press has really... I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm old. I'm weird. I'm crazy. You've acknowledged that. I think any press is good press. Even like when you remember Reese, I'm trying to think of people whose likability is so tied to their bankability, like Reese Witherspoon. Remember when she had that really entitled interaction with that police officer and she was drunk and like, don't you know who I am? All that whole shit. Like, did that really hurt Reese Witherspoon?
Probably not.
Yeah, I'll just say 9 times out of 10, any press is good press. And that's the takeaway for these girls. They're showing personality. They're getting in people's heads even more. They probably got more people to subscribe to their YouTube show out of this. There's only a win. So
yeah.
I then, like I said, God, this is, I did not expect to be talking about this for so long. So,
yeah, I know. Who cares? I mean,
yeah, sorry. I don't know. It was not my plan, but whatever. I'm into it. I inserted myself in the drama, and then all these people started coming for me. And just in one day alone, I had like over 50,000 people follow me on TikTok. It's wild.
But you understand those numbers are fake. Yeah. You understand that Charli D'Amelio's numbers are fake, too. Like 100 million people do not follow Charli D'Amelio. I bet it's not even half of that. It's just the platform gets more juice by adding more people and making her a star. She's essentially, here's an old reference for it. This is how you know you're old. She's Cindy Margolis.
Cindy Margolis? Who's she? I don't even know that.
Yes, you do. Remember, she was the most famous person on the internet when the internet started. She was blonde chick. Yes. Look her up very quickly. You'll remember Cindy Margolis.
I'm not even going to look her up. I'll look her up, but like, is she like a fitness person?
I think she spawned from fitness. I think. But she was known as the most known person on the internet when the internet started.
She's 55 years old now.
Look how old we are.
Wow.
And you know, she was older than us. You know, all of these platforms, you anoint one lottery winner. You know, and she's the lottery winner. She's the one that was on it first. And for whatever reason, like you said, dumb white girls were like, hey, let's watch this dummy dance. And that's what she did. And then they asked her to talk one day and you're like, boy, she's really plain. And she is totally plain. Like, there's no personality. Like, they put her on the Tonight Show one night and I was like watching Jimmy Fallon trying to get something out of this block. I was like, oh my God, it's just a kid. You know, she's just a kid. There's nothing interesting about her. She's had no experience, no culture, but that's what's making it interesting because they're introducing culture to uncultured people. You know, and that's what's...
It's not even that. That's so basic.
I know, but that's... Everybody goes through that basic part of their life. Like, not everybody, like, knows what paella is. Like, I didn't eat paella when I was a kid. So, I mean, you're kind of getting cultured. You're learning something while they're learning something. And that's good TV. And it's smart whoever put it together.
Yeah.
And the snails was a great idea, too.
Yeah. And I get it. All the views that I've gotten the last few days, they have nothing to do with me. It's not about me. It's about Charli D'Amelio.
Yeah.
But I love it because by inserting myself in the drama and by talking about it, then now all of these other big TikTokers, many of whom have more followers than me, it's all about numbers, right, and math, these big TikTokers have started to make videos attacking me. And I love it.
They don't know the game yet. They don't know that you've understood the game for many years, and they have no idea. They're playing right into your hand.
Exactly. They don't know that making videos attacking me only
helps
me. You're
the Trump of the internet. You really are. You're the Trump of the internet.
I am.
But it's amazing.
Anyways, that Charli D'Amelio girl also, it's all so brilliant because before she did it, I knew exactly what was going to happen. I was like, listen, I'm going to give her some free advice. She needs to go on Instagram Live ASAP, harp on the fact that she's just 16 years old, she's learning, and then cry. What did she do? A few hours after I made that video, she got on Instagram Live, made the video and said, I'm only 16, and cried and apologized. And it was brilliant. And she, when she went on Instagram Live, she also mentioned this girl named Trisha Paytas saying, you've said very hurtful things and blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, people were comparing me to Trisha Paytas and all this stuff. And just by association, like, I've gained now well over 100,000 followers in like...
Hold on. Just in. We've lost 100,000 podcast followers from this conversation.
Anyways, whatever.
We got to move on. Who cares?
But you know what? A lot of younger people might care. Maybe we'll get some
A lot of
listeners.
Younger people aren't listening to this show. We know who's listening to the show. It's women that are mostly over 30 that grew up with you and didn't understand...
TikTok.
Well, they may check it out. Look, give us the story.
All right. Well, I'm wrapping it up, but I'm moving on to James Charles now.
Who no one else cares about, but okay. Well,
I think I disagree. Don't you remember when he was involved in all that drama last year? And
No.
Were like,
you're very good at telling me what's good drama at the moment. I do agree. However, I disagree when I tell you that you think that people care about these people. They don't.
No.
The drama people like, and if you can make it a good story, but quickly.
All right. So James Charles... First, he came to the defense of the D'Amelios, understandably, because he was on that episode. And in many ways, TikTok is just a reflection, or all social media is just a reflection of the real world. Meaning, somebody like Charli D'Amelio can get so far ahead in life with little effort.
See, I couldn't disagree with you more. It's nothing like the real world. This person is a lottery winner. In the real world, you have to have a job. You have to prove your worth. You've got to have a skill. This girl has no skills, none. She's a lottery winner.
Let me fine-tune that sentiment. It is a lot like the real world in that we live in a very shallow world. I guarantee you 100%, if Charli D'Amelio were fat and if she were not white and if she were ugly, there's no way, none, zero possibility that she would be the most followed person on that app.
She's the most popular cheerleader in high school.
Exactly. So in many ways, and just continue to hear me out, in many ways, social media is a reflection of the real world. And also that it's so divided. Like, the mentality on there is so divisive. Like, America is so divisive. Mm-hmm. I've seen so many kids, like, and I think, I wonder if that's hearing their parents.
Well, it's a bigger conversation because I think it's everything that's wrong with the world. I think that's why the world has become so divisive, because everyone has a voice now and they're not using their voice for a good cause or a good reason. Like, we talk about politics and all of these people, anti-Trump and all this other stuff. It's all the same thing. And the conversations should be about bigger things like the environment and your health. But we dumb it down. Everything's so dumbed down. And I think that's exactly what happens on this level as well.
There's this mentality that you have to, quote, pick a side. So James Charles made a video defending the D'Amelios and also attacking Trisha Paytas. So I commented on James Charles' video and he said, please, just 30 minutes ago, you were on her side. Get off my page, old man. Two things. One,
I fed him that line.
One, I can acknowledge when anybody makes valid points. He made valid points and executed his video well, coming through with receipts. I am objective. And I can also be objective that Trisha Paytas made points and whomever. I don't even like James Charles, but he made a good video and it is what it is. And also, it's just so boring.
I agree.
The biggest theme that people keep coming at me with is I'm old or I'm fat or I'm ugly or I'm musty or whatever. Like kids right. now, kids nowadays.
Musty, that's a good word. Yeah. That's a good adjective to describe it. That's a good barb.
Kids nowadays, they need to think of better disses. But also, like, if you are proclaiming to be a moral barometer, but then you start off your video attacking me for my looks or my age, like,
yeah.
It makes you no better than what you claim I am or I'm doing.
It's like you're an eighth grader and you just went to preschool and started kicking the shit out of the kids.
Me?
That's what this is my visual in my head. Yeah, you know, because it's like these preschoolers are coming at you and you're like swatting them away and you're kicking them. That's in my mind what's really happening here.
No. Yes. Anyways, so that went down. And this guy, he's also lucky, James Charles, that people, like, he's got over 26 million followers on TikTok
right.
and over 10 million subscribers on YouTube and tons of millions on Instagram. He's lucky that people care about him now. So that means, yet again, the microscope is on him. He's involved in another drama. And here's where I think I can be objective. And correct me if my take on this is wrong. This is, I guarantee you, today, when this podcast is released, this story is only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
On TikTok.
No. On mainstream media. They're going to start talking about it. I'm ahead of the curve. I started talking about it on Sunday. Today, Monday, it's going to get mainstream. I know it. This is going to get mainstream attention for many reasons.
Number one, nothing else is going on.
Well, maybe. Yeah, it's Thanksgiving week.
Okay. Like I always say, something has to be on the front page. So I don't know if that means it's relevant. I just think that, you know, there's nothing else to talk about.
Well,
the Kardashians haven't run over anyone yet.
This next topic, it also just pushes a lot of buttons, like religion and race mm-hmm. and sexual and gender. So this is like a hot button issue. Reminder, our phone number is 800-721-1185. So James Charles came across randomly this video of this Christian black woman talking about her relationship with her husband and having kids in the future. And she said that if she were to have a son, she, because of her religious beliefs, would not let her son dress in dresses, like wear clothes that typically women wear, which, by mm-hmm. the way, some of our listeners and people corrected me last week saying clothes don't have a gender. Men wear dresses all over the world and et cetera, et cetera. So I stand corrected. And James Charles saw that video, commented on that, and told that black creator, you should not have children. That's a bold statement. And then...
You've made bolder.
Yeah. Well, on Twitter, there's this popular YouTuber that called James Charles out and then asked a poll, a question. And there were many options of why he commented that to that woman. I forget the four options, but this YouTuber reminded that earlier this year, James Charles criticized or attacked Alicia Keys, a black musician, for releasing a makeup line or a skincare line, but not even really using makeup a lot or whatever. But he never criticized Charli D'Amelio or Addison Rae for coming out with makeup lines, and they don't even really use makeup that much, the D'Amelio sisters. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'm not speaking for black people because I'm not a black person, but this is a real thing. It's called microaggressions mm-hmm. and it's holding black people to a different standard and attacking them in ways that you don't attack their white counterparts. And many people view James Charles' comment towards this black Christian woman as a microaggression towards her. And my takeaway is this. Listen, and here's where I think I can be objective. I don't agree with that woman. You know, if my son wants to wear dresses, then I'll let him wear dresses, okay? And, like, I've been in the middle of this similar controversy. Like, if my son really wanted to take dance class, okay, I would let him take dance class, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, telling that woman she should not have children is another way of saying, don't be that religious person. And I disagree with many things that Christianity teaches. I disagree with many things that Judaism teaches. I disagree with many things that Islam teaches. And don't get me started on Scientology, okay? But I'm not going to say, you shouldn't be this, you shouldn't be that, you shouldn't be the other. Whatever happens in somebody's house, that's not my business, so long as they're caring for and loving that child.
Okay.
I'm right, right?
I don't know. I fall asleep.
All right, fine.
These names, I mean, they're just, there's no real drama attached. I'm a shark. I'm swimming. You haven't really chummed the water yet for me.
All right, well.
Like everything you just said makes sense. Right. It makes sense. It's logical. Fine.
Let's talk adult drama then.
By the way, did you watch the American Music Awards at all last night?
I was about to get to that after this, but we can talk about it now just because this seemed related in terms of like drama. But no, I did not. Did you?
I watched a couple of clips like you. I tried. I tuned in. Who was on? Megan Thee Stallion, I think. And I was like, nope, I'm out. And I saw a Bieber performance.
Pause. First of all, I love Megan Thee Stallion.
I do too, but that was boring.
I love her new song. And once again, like Cardi B, she's at the beginning of her career, and Cardi wasn't great live at the beginning. It takes time to find the right team, to get the right levels, the right amount of playback or auto-tune or whatever it is. Doja Cat was not great live, and she's still at the beginning of her career, but she's been around like a hot second longer than Megan Thee Stallion, and then she's gotten a lot better.
Hot Girl Summer was almost 2 years ago now.
Really?
She's been on the scene for a minute.
Well,
she's a couple of years in, but you know, like you said, maybe it takes more time.
I did love Dua Lipa. I'm like such a Dua Lipa fangirl, and I love that, like Rihanna. Rihanna, if you remember back early Rihanna, she would barely even move when she performed. Like, she's not a
I do recall. You're right. Yeah.
Like, she's not a dancer, and she's still not a dancer, but now she does choreography.
Like Taylor Swift.
Exactly. Although Rihanna does it better
than
Taylor
Swift. You like the effort. I think you like the effort.
Exactly. I do. And Dua Lipa is giving me the effort now, and I love it. I appreciate it. I love her. I didn't really like, I watched, like you, I watched some clips. I didn't love the J-Lo performance, but like her body looks amazing. She looks amazing, and it is what it is. I have to let our listeners know. Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free television. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free, okay? Our PHP listeners, for free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for, you fabulous person? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV, and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free. On to adult drama, okay?
Finally.
Isaiah Washington is forever known as the actor that was fired from Grey's Anatomy for being extremely problematic and homophobic. Mm-hmm. And this made me sad. And also, it's just wild that he and I engaged in this back and forth on Twitter for days. I can only work on the information that I'm given, all right? And I straight up asked him, like, I said, I'm assuming that you have no mental health issues unless you correct the record. And I'm assuming that you're, and I asked him, like, are you struggling with substance abuse or sobriety or whatever, because like he was like just going on and on and on and would not stop.
Like Kanye style?
Yeah, like it's just insane. And what's even wilder is that, you know what triggered all of this? So last week, he on Twitter attacked Katherine Hagel over things that she said 13 years ago. And like, that's just sad to me that 13 years later, this guy is still harboring hate and resentment towards other people.
Can let me back you up for 1 second. So is he playing the same game as you? Is he just doing this like, I'm trying to get something going?
Well, this is the weird thing. Okay, so he was attacking Katherine Hagel over things that she said 13 years ago. What she had said 13 years ago is after he said the F word, in public, and he had reportedly said that in private as well, but he said it publicly on camera, and his whole justification was, I never said the F word to T.R. Knight, and then he said the F word when he said he didn't say the F word. He could have just said, I never said the F word, but instead he said the F word out loud.
Semantics, whatever.
But he said it.
I think intent is everything.
Okay, fine. Anyways, after Isaiah Washington did that, Catherine Hagel said he really shouldn't speak in public. And then now, he last week did that against, like, I don't even remember all the shit he was saying about her, but we wrote a story about that on my website, and I sent out a tweet that said the following. I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly what I said. I could say so many things about this now, but what I will say is, I wish Isaiah Washington peace. I wish him peace of mind, peace of heart, and peace in his soul. And I was sincere about that. And that one tweet that I sent wishing him peace triggered him to the point where he was like dragging my children. Just insane. And now to answer your question, I checked his Wikipedia. He is currently allegedly employed. He's got some either cooking or travel show or cooking and travel show on Fox Nation. So like he's got a job. And he's also allegedly some respected actor. Is it a good look for him to be in the muddy waters, like in the gutter?
You started off this show by saying there's hardly anything you can do or say that not, you said nine times out of 10, it's going to play as a positive. So here's what I take from everything you've said. It's rolling the dice. That's all. He's rolling the dice and hoping for 9 times out of 10.
But this might be the 1 time out of 10 because he's playing.
Maybe.
He's playing his Trump card. Ba-dum-bum. He's like literally playing the Trump card. He's now aligned himself with Donald Trump repeatedly, saying he's a Trumper and a MAGA person and all this stuff. And that in many ways is like the kiss of death in Hollywood. I will just end the Isaiah Washington bit where I started it with him. I, for days, went back and forth with him. But eventually I said, listen, I'm sorry for a lot of things in my past, but I'm not sorry for how I spoke about you. Then at the end of like day
three. You're a teenage girl. You really are.
At the end of day 3 or 4, I was like, listen, Isaiah Washington, you're almost 60 years old. And if me saying I'm sorry helps you to let go and move on 13 years later, then I am genuinely sorry. So I was the bigger person. Kudos to me, bitch. Do you need anything more about that?
No. Nothing. Zero.
All right. Let's focus on healing for a minute, okay? Let's focus on healing. A big trending thing over the last few days and really powerful and healing moment was watching Will Smith have this heart-to-heart with Janet Hubert, the actress that played the original Aunt Viv on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And she revealed some I had never heard before information on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion special that aired on HBO Max, which is that many people thought she was fired from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. She claimed that she was never fired and she just walked away from the show because when it came time to renegotiate her contract after, I believe, 3 seasons, they offered her a really shitty contract. And her reputation had been besmirched and nobody had corrected it for decades that she was difficult. And she says, you know, being a woman and being a black woman, being perceived as difficult in Hollywood is like the kiss of death. And it was just really powerful to see. Oh God, I almost started crying. I'm so cheesy. I was really moved by this. It was really powerful and healing to see such honesty. And she did not let him off easy. Like, she could have dealt with this with kid gloves, but how she spoke about it, she spoke her truth.
It sounds like she has nothing to lose. There's no reason. It's not like she's going to lose a gig from it or anything. If anything, her honesty will probably get her work.
Yeah, but she didn't She was honest, but it wasn't a vicious honesty like Isaiah Washington with me.
She's not mad about it. She's just recalling her recollection of how she felt. And she sounds like she's kind of an evolved human being and has moved on, but you know, exactly. Is willing to talk about her emotions at the time. Sure.
It's been 27 years. And wow. Also, she probably got money to be on the reunion special, you know?
Maybe.
Not maybe. What are you talking about? Of course she got paid. I mean, maybe not a ton of money, but at least the basic SAG-AFTRA minimum.
Well, like you said, it's an opportunity, and it is an opportunity to maybe open a new chapter. And from just what you're telling me, that she moved you, then I think she probably moved somebody else and she'll get work from it.
She did. It was moving. It was beautiful. I loved it. And I hope that she gets work from it. JoJo Siwa, I like her. That's why I'm talking about her, even though she skews young. But I'll make it brief, okay? JoJo Siwa is a mogul and makes so much money.
You know, it's funny. She's an elder statesman when it comes to Charlie D'Amelio.
Yeah, she is. She really is. She is. And that's what I was going to say. I hope that when my children are around JoJo Siwa's age, that they can have somebody like her to look up to. Because while JoJo Siwa just went through this very public split with her boyfriend, she handled it in a very different way than Charlie D'Amelio's sister, who went through a recent split as well and was being really messy with her ex-boyfriend and just, you know, typical for a 19-year-old. Most 19-year-olds, mm-hmm. when they break up, they're messy. But JoJo Siwa saw that somebody posted something on social media about her now ex-boyfriend, Mark. And you know what JoJo Siwa did? She commented on that and chastised her fan for being hateful towards her ex and said, it just didn't work out, but we're still truly friends. And she was just so classy and so mm-hmm. mature. And I just want to like highlight that, because it's important to highlight the good too. Speaking sure. of highlighting the good, God bless, thank God. Well, this is my thoughts. I don't know. You might disagree with me. The Justin Bieber and Shawn Mendes new song Monster came out, and I think it's a monster hit. It's my favorite wow. song of Bieber. Did you not listen to it?
I don't like it at all.
You don't like it?
I think it's the most generic thing I've ever heard.
Oh, I love it. I mean, yes, I can acknowledge it's formulaic. It was put together in a lab designed to be a hit, but it was effective to me. To me, it's a hit. Wow.
I listened a couple of times. I could barely get through it the first time. I'll continue to listen. Once again, maybe it'll grow on me. Maybe it's something I missed. But man, it just sounded like everything else. I couldn't get over how generic it sounded. So no, I don't like it at all.
I really do try to be better and do better and learn from my past mistakes. But I'm also not afraid to stick my neck out there. Another story that's been dividing people and very controversial over the last few days is this issue of Sia and her new movie that hasn't come out yet, starring Maddie Ziegler, the girl that used to be in Dance Moms, that also has been the face of Sia for years. She's been the star of almost all of her music videos.
She's sort of her muse.
Yeah. She cast her in this new movie that Sia directed, and I think she might have written it as well. Did she write it? Or I don't know. I don't know if she wrote it, but I know that she directed it. And in the movie, Maddie Ziegler plays this autistic girl. And a lot of people in the autism community criticized Sia for hiring a non-autistic person to play an autistic person. And they focused on that. And then Sia, who is a queer person, she's a woman that has adopted two Black children. She's a woman that we spoke about on the podcast. I don't know why I'm so emotional today. I almost am starting to cry talking about Sia. I think last Thanksgiving,
having your period.
It's that I slept 3.5 hours last night. So lack of sleep makes you very emotional, I guess.
Wait a minute. I didn't know she was gay because she just broke up with her boyfriend.
Husband. I didn't say gay. I don't think she identifies as gay. She identifies as queer.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I'm almost certain of that. I know her. She has a big heart. Her intentions are good. And I've said this over and over and over again. Intention is everything. And you said this on our podcast 5 minutes ago. Intention is everything. So Sia, understandably, got very defensive when people started attacking her for casting Maddie as an autistic person in her movie. And she went on to say that she had several autistic, I forget the word, there's a different word that she used, but she had several people in that community guiding her and advising her on her film, and she hired 13 neurodiverse people to star in the movie.
How about that?
So the main lead was not autistic, but 13 actors in the movie were. And her justification or explanation for not hiring an autistic person to play the lead is she claims, after having spoken to autistic people, that it was a very rigorous shoot done on a compressed schedule timeline. And they thought, whatever, I don't want to speak for her, but they felt that a non-autistic person could handle the pressure and the stress of a really condensed shooting schedule. So it is what it is.
I take from that, look, and I've always said, just give somebody a look. Doesn't mean you have to give somebody that thing apart, whatever that thing may be, autistic or trans or whatever it is. I just keep saying the same thing. Give the person an opportunity. Give that person a look. But at the end of the day, it's acting. Whoever's best and whoever puts asses in seats, that's what you go with. But give the people a look. I'll be consistent on that. And I'm glad Sia did. Sounds like Sia gave a lot of people a look.
She did.
A job.
Yeah. And I love her. God. Megan Fox. I love that. This is one of the things I love about my job is that if you, and your job too, like everything old is new again. And if you stick around.
Like us.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, truly, like this year has proven that I'm hot again. I'm hot. I fucking love it. I am relevant again.
You were always relevant. Well, like I've always said, if you're a star, you're always a star. If you're famous, you're always going to be famous. There's just different levels of it. And you've ticked up. You've had a good year where you ticked up.
I've had a good year. And Megan Fox has had a good year, too, with her breakup with Brian Austin Green and then getting together with Machine Gun Kelly. And as we've established on this show, and you know me well enough, I'm very liberal, but I'm also very old school in many ways. And when there are children involved, I think that adults should hopefully behave like adults just to protect the kids. And in many ways, she keeps behaving like a dumb fuck 19-year-old in love. And it's just so stupid. Megan Fox gave this new interview to Nylon. And let me read you some of her quotes, please. Okay?
It's not necessary. I've interviewed her before. I already know what's rolling around in that head.
All right. Megan Fox said, but it's just so funny. It's not necessary, but it's hilarious. Megan Fox said this about her new boyfriend, Machine Gun Kelly. I looked into his eyes and I felt the most pristine. I got to read it in my own voice because I want you to hear everything she said. I looked into his eyes and I felt the most pristine, most gentle, most pure spirit. My heart shattered immediately and I just knew that I was fucked. Loving him is like being in love with a tsunami or a forest fire. The intensity of merging with him is just overwhelming, and the threat it poses is so powerful. But so, you know what? I'm going to do a fucking TikTok with this.
You should.
Because it is just so stupid. Oh my God. I'm taking this. I have to do a TikTok about this. Anyways, I get it. I think it could be perceived as shitting on her ex, right?
No, she's not doing this to spite Brian Austin Green.
I think she is.
I said, I think that relationship is over. Put that to the side. She's a wackadoodle, and she always has been. She's always been out there. She's always spoke this way. Brian Austin Green doesn't seem like that kind of guy to me. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't seem like he would respond to that from every interview that I've seen with him. He seems like a pretty sane guy, you know? So it's weird that those two got together. Once you pull back the lens a little bit and kind of get a vibe of how her mind works, that quote right there it is. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, it was weird that they were together in the first place. Machine Gun Kelly, I can actually see him with her because I've met him before and he is kind of fantastical, if you will. You know what I mean? Like, he's kind of like a big giant kid all of the time. And he's a sweetheart. I mean, you couldn't find a nicer guy. He's so sweet. First meeting, you're like, oh my God, this is such a nice dude. So I could totally see them together, but I don't know, man. That's funny.
Well, I wish them well. Mazel. is this a red flag? I mean, everything in their relationship is a red flag. Did you hear the sports news? Sports for a second. Tristan Thompson is now signed with the Boston Celtics.
Celtics, yes.
And many members of the extended Kardashian-Jenner fam congratulated him publicly. But Khloe Kardashian, his baby mama, did not congratulate him publicly. A, should she have? And B, is that a sign, negative, that she didn't?
Okay. It means nothing because obviously she's got plenty of personal time with him where she can congratulate him to his face. I think everybody else in the family probably doesn't spend as much one-on-one time with him and thought it would be nice to kind of shout him out. But I don't think she needed to. So, no, I don't think it means anything.
All right. Well, speaking of the extended Kardashian-Jenner universe, you know, I design our podcast every week very strategically. Like, some weeks I want it to be heavy on them and some weeks I don't. So I saved them for the end today.
Did you design 30 minutes for Charli D'Amelio?
No, today? I did not. It did not. I did not. But I do think our podcast today is awesome. I love it.
Well,
personally,
I hope this is a show where we can, if you hate today's show, it's fine. I do too. But I'm hoping it's one of those shows where maybe some younger people that are that are growing up, maybe into her, into that generation, may give us a listen. Give us a look.
Some of our listeners now have kids that are 13 or 14. I would love it if they listened together. Listen to our show together.
We've had that a little bit, but we're a little crass. You know, we curse a lot.
Who cares?
We probably should curse less.
These moms curse. They're fucking awesome. Anyways.
Well, I like to leave the discretion up to them.
Fine. Briefly, sending prayers to Black China. Rob Kardashian's baby mama is broke, according to Wendy Williams. Wendy Williams says that Black China sent her a text asking her to help her to find a new condo because she has no place to live. According to Wendy Williams. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what Wendy has to say.
It's a funny diss if not. That's a diss at Hollywood, by the way. If you didn't know that, if you said, well, he's living in a condo somewhere, that's a diss.
Most people dream of getting a bigger house or this or that or the other. Not me. In 10 years' time, I dream of downsizing to a nice apartment, and I want to live above a Trader Joe's. That's my idea of heaven. I want to live above a Trader Joe's.
Like that one on
San Vicente in Las Vegas.
San Vicente. Like, yes. You want to be in that top floor.
I want to be in that top floor.
Right across the street from the Beverly Center. You're perfect.
Yes. I would love to live in that building.
The larder's downstairs, the chicken restaurant. You love chicken. There you go.
All I need is like my own private hot tub, which I'm sure I could get installed in the penthouse, you know?
Whatever. Why not?
Anyways, let's end things with a little bit of positivity and a question. So this story, I am not easily blown away, but this story blew me away. George Clooney is so filthy rich.
Oh, yeah.
That when he did that movie Gravity, it was not expected to do well for some reason. And he structured his deal in such a way that he didn't get a huge upfront payday, but instead he got points on the film. A percentage, you know? So the better the film did, the more he made. He ended up making so much money that he gave 14 of his friends $1 million in cash. In cash!
I actually know a couple of his friends, and that's not the first time he's done a thing like this. He often does things like this.
I need to be in George Clooney's inner circle.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
And
I don't see you riding motorcycles through Mexico with George.
I would.
I see you in like one of those little motorcycle shotgun cars. Maybe that.
I would fucking wipe his shoes with my spit and clean it and do whatever he wanted. If you had that much money, would you do that?
100%. Why not?
You would?
If you've got friends like that that are your, you know, ride or dies for a million years, I would love to have enough money where you go, okay, well, my family's taken care of. My parents are done. They've got everything they want. Now I'm on to my friends. I mean, that's true wealth. That's not even being rich. That's wealth.
I don't think I would. I would be smarter. No, but I would be smarter about it. I would instead, like, you know, my best friend in the world works in marketing for one of the major studios. So I would instead say, hey, I want to give you, instead of giving 14 friends $1 million each, like, I would give my best friend $14 million.
Oh, fuck you. So I'm getting nothing is what you're saying? This is bullshit.
Irvin,
the show's over, everybody.
Oh, shit. No.
Asshole. Wait, let me I'm not getting it. You're giving just one friend $14 million.
No,
fuck that guy.
I'll continue. No, let me continue.
Let's wrap this up. Come on.
I'm wrapping it up, but let me finish my thought, okay?
Okay.
I'll give my one friend, and I'm only saying this because I'm going to do it more than once, because George Clooney did it more than once, so that's what I was working on, okay? I'd give my one friend...
So how many friends down the rung am I? That's all I really care about.
You're number two. You're next. You're number two.
Oh, I'm two? Wow.
No,
all right, fucking A, so... I may get a $7 million payment.
Not even.
Someday.
I would have taken care of us first because I'd have so much money. So I already took care of us, okay?
I'm already taken care of.
Yes, we're already taken care of. Anyways, if I had George Clooney money, I would fucking give us our own show. I'd start our own network. We'd already have our own show. So that's already a given, okay? That's understood.
Can we wrap up this shit show, please?
No, this is what I would do. I would be smarter.
I don't care.
Okay, fine. Give me 20 seconds to finish my story. I'd give my best friend $14 million and I'd be like, let me start your own company, and that we'd be co-owners of our own company together and make even more money for us both. Anyways, the question is to our listeners, would you give your friends that much money? And if not,
no.
what would you do?
All of our listeners are sensible like me. They would say the $1 million is really cool. You want to spread it around. You don't want to have one person. Can you imagine being friend three, finding out that you gave friend one 14 million bones? Fuck that. I would hate both of you. No way.
Well, my one best friend is like a brother for me. Like, I would kill for him.
I feel the same way about my best friend. I would lay down in traffic for him.
All right. Do you, listening right now, own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. I know it is. And you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Let's go.
Let's take some calls.
From Monroeville, Pennsylvania.
Monroeville? I used to date a girl in Monroeville. How about that?
Just wanted to talk about the COVID in schools. I'm a teacher, and I can tell you right now that Perez is right, that the students are not spreading it. They're spreading it after school, going to hockey tournaments, wrestling tournaments, dance class, and they're not wearing the shields and the protective things that they should be wearing. Then they bring it into the school.
So you're contradicting yourself. They're not spreading it in schools. However, when they go outside of the school, they get it there and they bring it into the school. She just contradicted herself. I'm no doctor. I'll just say this. Wear a fucking mask, everybody. Come on.
I think you said this on our podcast, but I refused. I couldn't wrap my brain around it until I've done even more reading and more research on how other countries have responded. Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong, Booker has claimed on our show that the reason the United States is in the situation that it is regarding COVID is because of Donald Trump and his lack of leadership and setting a national agenda.
I'm not going to blame him specifically. It's a bigger picture than that. But yes, it does stem from leadership, to your point.
So I post so much, but a lot of what I post is really good. If you have time, yesterday on Sunday, I shared this video. I turned it into a video. This filmmaker went to Taiwan and she shared 10 tweets of what her experience has been like being in Taiwan. And many countries do that. Like, if you go to Taiwan, they force you into a mandatory, like, all of the things that they do in Taiwan. And Taiwan is now living like normal because of how they've handled COVID.
Sure. We can't do that, though, because we have too many freedoms and we have too many dumb yahoos in this country that are running around saying, I don't have to wear a mask. It's infringing on my Americanism. Fuck off, dummy. It has nothing to do with you being an American or your freedoms. It has to do with trying to protect you and trying to protect other people.
And I keep on being reminded so often that so many, I used to think prior to 2020 that most of the dumb yahoos near us were just confined to Orange County.
No.
They're not.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
I hate that it's political, but it stems from policy and politics, and this is all so silly. You know, you look up north at Canada, you got a country of people that care for one another and are truly country first, people first, humanity first. We don't have that anymore. We're so lost as a country, and it sucks. I hope it changes. I don't see it changing for a while, but it needs to calm down first.
And Canada, like, you know, people counter, oh, well, like Australia or New Zealand are islands. It's easier, whatever. Canada's not an island.
It's just north of us. Same continent.
Yeah.
Same continent. Better policy.
And their fucking schools are open.
Yeah. Well, you know. I'm sure we'll get calls from Canada that say, you know, Perez is right. Like, no, Perez is wrong. Perez is wrong because of everything we just said. That has been my point all along. It's not that we can't do it. It's we won't do it. And that's what people need to understand because this has been politicized. But whatever, let's take another call.
Hey guys, it's Liz from New York. Just driving to work. I'm a school teacher, and I just heard the part where Perez is talking about how children are not bringing the coronavirus home from school. They're getting it at outside functions. And I just have to chime in here from my experience. All of our coronavirus cases in my area, children are not getting the coronavirus at school. We are
look, a second teacher, a second teacher agreeing with
me. She's saying that, okay, wait a minute. So do you disagree with anything that I just said, that people are not paying attention, they're not following the rules? Her statement is erroneous. If everyone follows the rule in theory, you shouldn't be able to get it at school. No one's following the rules, so they are, in fact, bringing it to school. And anybody that says that they're not, they're wrong. You're wrong.
But let me explain to you this other thing. And I don't know how it's working there in New York where she's at, or how it's working in Pennsylvania where the other caller called. But
right.
how it should be working is like this. Smaller class sizes and pods. And whereas the traditional high school model is that the students go from classroom to classroom, how it should be working is the students remain in one classroom and the teachers are the ones that move from classroom to classroom. So
right.
Even if there is a positive, an exposure or somebody positive, the whole school should not be affected by that. And they're able to really limit and contain that. And then everybody
right.
in that pod
right.
has to self-quarantine at home for 2 weeks. And the rest of the school community continues to move forward.
Right. However, I'm talking about middle America. I'm talking about the kind of school that I went to where something that you just explained cannot happen.
Well, it fucking needs to happen. They need to give them
money. It should.
Money.
You're right. And once again, I'll say it again. It should fucking rain M&Ms on Tuesday. Okay? It's not. It's just you go to West Virginia. There's no budget. There's no money. They pay teachers fucking garbage. There's nothing nationally put in place. It's not a priority for this country, and it should be. Education, 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 and all this stuff. Computers, all this stuff should be given to all of our kids. It should be. You're right, but it's not. Where I'm from, everything you guys are talking about is null and void. It will not work there. It should work there, but it's not going to work there because everyone where I'm from in a 90% Democratic county, or I'm sorry, 90% Republican county, none of them are wearing masks. None of them believe in this. They think it's the boogeyman. That's just what I'm trying to tell you. Like, it should be, but it's not. It's not. We're speaking as liberals, talking about big cities with budgets. Where I'm from, it isn't like that. That's why these people are mad, by the way. They don't think they're getting anything. And you're sitting there going, well, we're trying to give you stuff. And they're like, we don't want your government help, you socialist fuck. It's like, so make up your mind. Do you want it or not? That's why the whole thing's so crazy.
I mean, I don't want to talk about politics, but
right.
There needs to be new talking points or ways to communicate. You're right. To communicate the messages.
Better voices, Perez. We just need better voices. Even the Democratic voices are fucking terrible. Trump does have a point about some things. There is some swamp draining that does need to happen.
And oh, these career please.
Politicians
so
that
drained.
Do, that
he is
do
the
nothing.
Swamp.
There are so, but there are so many do nothing politicians that are completely out of touch with what really needs to be done. One more call.
Hi, Ashley calling here from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. I have to actually agree with Perez when it comes to schooling.
Oh, my God.
Once again, here in Toronto, I agree with everything Perez is saying. I agree with everything that this teacher is saying. It should be. You're calling from Canada. This isn't fucking Canada. I don't disagree with either one of you. It should be done that way. I'm telling you who's paying for it. And the people, they don't want it. They don't want it. That's what I'm trying to tell you, folks. They don't want it. I can't tell you why. I don't understand, but they don't. That's why it's not going to change, and that's why kids will bring it home. That is the only point I'm trying to make to you. You guys are all right. Perez, 100% right. I'm gonna pick up the phone. I'm going to call myself, and I'm going to say, I agree with Perez. Perez is right. There should be able, and we should be able to, and they wouldn't pick it up at schools if we did bip, 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 bip. They're not doing it in other places. They won't. They refuse. They're fucking stubborn. They're dug in. They believe the boogeyman has caused this virus and it's fake.
Well, that just makes me so sad because my kids have not been in school since March.
It's so true. You're right. I'm calling again going, Perez, you're right. Hey, girl from Canada, you're right. But I'm telling you, ultimately, you're wrong.
And they're required to wear a mask.
Well, there you go. Required. They don't do that here. You guys are all right. Got to start listening to what I'm telling you. I'm from those states. I know what they're doing. I have friends there. They tell me the shit. I know what's up. You're all fucking right. It can be done. They're not doing it. They're not going to do it. Want to wrap it up?
Yeah. Well, you guys got a supersized edition of the podcast for Thanksgiving. And actually, that's maybe a good thing because people have more time on their hands this week than normal. So truly, on behalf of my often annoying co-host, who I love, genuinely
who, by
love.
The way, last week's post was something like, my podcast host is so fucking annoying. Whatever your post was, I just laughed
but
about
he
that.
Is, and I love I him. Am. I genuinely man love in a totally like family way, Chris Booker. I'm so thankful that we get to do our podcast. He helps me see the world in a different way. He makes me better. He really is a radio legend, and I'm not just bullshit.
All right, enough about me. Fuck it. I love you back. Oh, everybody, have a great fucking Thanksgiving. If you eat turkey, have a great turkey. If you're eating tofu, I feel badly for you, but fuck it, knock yourself out. To each his own. Have a great bird. Have a great holiday.
And don't forget what we said about the beginning. Think about ways that you can help us promote it. And actually, here's a fun challenge.
Oh, no. Fuck it. Let's go. I was done. We were out.
No, I got it. Since everybody's going to be eating and drinking on Thanksgiving, maybe you can help us promote our show while drunk. I would love to see really funny drunk videos of people promoting
when
us.
People call in drunk, it's fucking awesome. Maybe you should tweet drunk about our show. That would be great.
Or make drunk TikToks or drunk Instagram videos, whatever. I want to see that. Tag us and have a wonderful holiday, everybody.
Hi, everyone. This is Jillian with Court Junkie. Court Junkie is a true crime podcast that covers court cases and criminal trials using audio clips and interviews with people close to the cases. Court Junkie is available on Apple Podcasts and podcastone.com.